stream, but could I ask for grace ahead of time? First, I want to start off with this, and this wasn't in the announcements because it hasn't been published that fashion yet, but men, we have a men's retreat coming up, first week of May, and I've invited Scott Prickett to return. And he is powerful. He is definitely the one that brings you into the conversation. He doesn't preach at you like I'm about to do. He'll welcome you into the, he makes it real. Let me put it that way. And I want to put it out there just as a thought. Put it in the back of your mind. We're going to open up registration here in about a week. And so be thinking about it. First week of May, 1st through the 3rd. So, all right. So today we were wonderfully interrupted by Sam Rockwell last week, who shared a message outside of our series. It was a great message, but we've been talking about the life lessons of David prior to that. And I'm going to continue in that, and I'm going to talk about anointing today. And I'm excited to talk about this for a number of reasons. So just to give a context to where I'm coming from, the history of Israel, the Israelites came out of Egypt, they came into the Promised Land, and for a while there, the Lord gave them judges. To be leaders over them before they had a king. One judge after another that basically delivered them from enemies, gave them leadership, brought their hearts back to the Lord. But eventually, the Israelites said, hey, we're kind of done with that. We want a king. And of course, it broke the Lord's heart because he was their king. He is their king. But he did it anyways. He honored the request, and he set up a king, and that's where Saul came in. And he anointed Saul king over Israel. Now, Saul started off really well in general. There are definitely some hiccups and stuff, but the reality was is that Saul was not fully committed to the heart of the Lord, to the personhood of the Lord. And he had this constant struggle between his commitment to God and his commitment to himself. And eventually that broke him. And so in 1 Samuel 13:14 says, this is Samuel speaking to Saul, "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command." So a few chapters later, we get into the infamous story of David where he gets anointed that many of us are familiar with, where the Lord says to Samuel, hey, I want you to go to Bethlehem. I've chosen a leader for Israel, and I want you to go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons. So he goes there, and the interesting thing is that the text doesn't even say, go and anoint him king. Says, go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons. So he goes and goes through all the brothers, and the Lord's like, no, 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 no. And then the youngest comes in, ruddy and handsome, it says. And he comes in, and the Lord's like, that's the one. And what he says is 1 Samuel 16:13. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil that he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on, that very moment. There's two things I want to point out, and then I'm going to break into, and I'll bring it full circle to where we're at today, right now, here in this place. But I want to talk about what anointing is, very short way that's really not going to do it justice. But it's at least going to give some context to understand what we've been given when we're anointed. And the second thing is the difference between anointing and appointing, because they're two very different things, okay? You can be one without the other, and you can be both, all right? So, what is anointing? Okay, the Nickism definition of anointing, so whether it's right or not, at least so you could follow with me for my message, it's a particular favor of God given to someone through the Holy Spirit, okay? It's a particular favor of God that's given to somebody through the Holy Spirit. So if someone has like an evangelistic anointing, then there is a favor from God that's been placed. God has touched them in a fashion that works within them and goes before them to create the kingdom things in this world, okay? So for an evangelism, they will see that favor walk out by seeing people get saved, right? For a teacher, they will see the truth of God settle into the people's hearts and create, okay? For a pastor, the love and community that will build, he will watch that create. Follow me? Pretty simple, right? So, okay, now the words that come up, though. So the Hebrew word for anoint is not going to be too surprising, but it says that, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, so bear with me there. But to rub with oil, to consecrate, but in general, to draw the hand over something. So the same word that's used for anoint, oddly enough, they used to for spreading oil over crackers too. So basically, like, we're going to lather you up with the Holy Spirit and let you loose in what you are set apart for, consecrated for, lathered up. Okay, now that didn't even change too much coming into the New Testament in a whole different language. So the Greek word, cryo or creo, whatever it is, for anointing, to consecrate, furnishing someone with the necessary powers for administration of an office or role. And the context of that verb is contact, just like in the other one, to place the hand upon. So the reality about anointing is it is the physical touch of God on a person's life. The physical touch of God. And it always comes with the purpose of bringing the presence and touch of God to other people. That is the intention of God placing his favor on someone to do that. Because the reality about David is that God knew that he could anoint one person, he could give one person favor and entrust him to bring his presence to a whole nation through one person who was available to him. One person. Just one. That's powerful. But the evidence was the Holy Spirit. So, to say that someone has been anointed is to say that the touch of God has given them a particular favor to proceed with and watch unfold. So, I want to say this about anointing. Anointing doesn't just come from the laying on of hands, even though the word anoint, that process, it's a contact piece. But there's some other ways that it shows up. Basically, any way that God wants to make contact, like if he wants to speak it into being, he can speak it into being. Okay? It doesn't just have to be the laying on of hands. But the point is that he wants to touch them in some fashion. Just like some examples of where he spoke some things into being and the Holy Spirit showed up and all that was when he created. What did he do? He spoke the world into motion. And what hovered over the waters? The Holy Spirit. Yeah. And when Jesus sat with Peter and he told him, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." What did he do? He spoke into being that a favor that Peter didn't understand before of where this was going. And now a word that he would live through the rest of his life. Ezekiel spoke to the dry bones. He spoke into motion the touch of God to a bunch of dead bones that came up and became flesh and a vast army. Okay? How many of you have been called or chosen, know that you have an anointing on your life, a particular favor, and maybe someone didn't lay hands on you or anoint you with oil, quote unquote, but it resonates deeply because you know that it's present. Okay? So I just, as much as this is, the context is laying on of hands, the important thing here is it's, the verbs are both about the Lord wants to touch you for the purpose of bringing his presence, possibly even to a whole nation, through someone who's available to him. A particular favor. Okay, so something about anointing, though. So anointing is a gift. You don't earn anointing, okay? It's something that he chooses to place on you. And as a gift, then he's the one that decides to increase or decrease it. So in that sense, you almost... I'm careful in saying this, but you can't really grow your anointing. You can grow in your anointing, but you can't necessarily grow the measure of what he's given to you. Now, again, don't go too crazy literal with that, because I'm sure there's probably some exceptions in being faithful with it. But the point about being faithful with the anointing you have is that you set your heart apart to the one who gave it to you. And that's how you see the reality, because he's a living God. Like, he didn't want to just, like, make a story for you to believe in. He wants to keep a story going, right? And that's why he gives anointing to people, so that they can walk in that favor that he's been given and bring the hearts of the people back to God, because they see a real living God doing something. So when you make yourself available to him, and when he is your first priority, then you'll get to watch that come. Most of the time, like, if you have an anointing in something, you have a particular favor that God has given to you to go out and speak the word or to minister to people or whatever it might look like. It can look so many different ways. I definitely don't want to put it in a box. If you know you have that, but you're not seeing it unfold, you're not seeing those things happen, it probably has more to do with how available you are to him than it does of if you have it or not. Chances are. So you can't necessarily grow your anointing, but you can grow in your anointing by how much you choose. Now, this is a really important concept, okay? Because this was a major difference between Saul and David. Because Saul was also anointed. Saul was also anointed. It says in 1 Samuel 10:6, Samuel is talking to Saul. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you." Just like David is given the Holy Spirit, says God is with you. Now the big difference is that one was faithful with that anointing and completely available to God, and God was his first priority, and he did whatever God told him to do, and one did not. And so what was given to Saul was taken away. In fact, the difference, it talks about the difference in Acts 13:22. But God removed Saul and placed him with David, a man whom God said, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." And the King James Version says, "He'll do all that I want him to do." Not just part of it. The straw that broke the camel's back for Saul was that God told him to go and wipe out the Amalekites and, you know, and everything they owned too, like their livestock, everything. And he didn't do that, did he? He did part of that, but he had this conflict going where it wasn't necessarily all about what the Lord said, because he had interests too for himself. And so the difference between David and Saul is that Saul acted on the interests of himself and didn't follow through with everything. And so what really showed where his heart was at was that. Whereas David, it says he did all that God asked him to do. All. That's how you tell that he's a man after God's heart. He was set apart, not just for what he was anointed to do, but was set apart for friendship with God. He's like, "Man, I am the apple of your eye, and I know it. There's nothing more important to me, whatever this looks like." Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the difference between anointing and appointing, okay? Anointing, I just kind of talked about. I gave you a definition. And appointing is what we would think of to appoint someone to a position, to lay charge upon, to give commands to, and to commission. Now, they're very much, a lot of times when we read scripture, it'll say like, the Lord, a certain prophet anointed this person king over Israel. Right? And sometimes that word is anointed, and sometimes that word is appointed. And they're very different things, because you can put someone in a position to be king over Israel and not have the anointing to bring the hearts of the people back to the God. Okay? But you can also have anointing and not necessarily be king yet. David, when he was anointed, there's this block of time between when he's anointed and when he's technically appointed king. And it's a while. Like, I'm not going to say this is, I think it was like 13 years that he was on the run before he was king in Hebron. There was another 7 years before he became king in Israel. So it was like about 20 years, give or take. Give or take. From when he was anointed to when the appointment actually happened. Now, I want to propose something though. He did exactly the same things when he was anointed before he was king, as he did when he was king. Exactly. He still led the armies of Israel. He still beat giants. In both situations, when, before he was king and when he was king, he was on the run at some point. He saved the people. He brought the kingdom down. He showed up with integrity in both situations. So who really differentiates when he actually became a king? Because to me, as I see that, I'm like, man, I think that's that when he actually became king over all Israel, that's just when the people recognized it. Because he wasn't waiting on the appointment to actually act like a king. When you are anointed, when the Holy Spirit has touched you, when it's in you, when the Lord's touched you and you have the Holy Spirit, like, you already have everything you need to walk in the office of which he's called you to. Like, everything. And what's going to decide if you're doing it or not is really your availability. You're to put him first above everything. And to sell yourself out to his heart and his heart for his people. Because remember, the reason you're anointed is because he wants to get in touch with other people. He wants his touch, his favor, his love, his kindness to come to the people around you. And he's like, I'll make you a contact piece. Here's a favor to do it. And it's no accident that he gave you that favor. No accident. And there's no accident that it looks different than the next guy's. In fact, if you, even if you have to turn out or tune out the rest of the words of my message to just let your what you know you're anointed in just burn in you and understand that God just wants to give that to someone, then forget what I have to say and just let that move you this morning. Because what he cares about is the people. And remember, he is happy to lavish that gift and give you that great anointing if it means that a whole nation even could come to him through one man. You already have it. If you are anointed, you already have it. The question is, are you available to it? Is he your first and foremost priority, or are your interests divided? This is a hard lesson. I'm in this lesson in a lot of ways right now. It's a really hard lesson. Because that was the difference between Saul and David, one of the biggest differences, I should say. Saul had competing commitments. That's the learning curve. If you already have it, then are you going to stand up in honor, humility, courage, trust, absolute trust in the will of God to watch that unfold? Not just to be present to the absolute presence of God and the kindness of God and what he's saying to your life, but in what he's actually set you apart and consecrated you to do? Because this is a twofold thing. He won't make you necessarily. He invites you. Many are called, few are chosen. Where is your loyalty at? All right, so bringing this full circle where we're at today. So everybody in here, like, we all have our issues with sin, right? We all have struggles. We all have wounds. We all have things that we're sorting out. Now, I was having a conversation with a guy earlier this week, and we were talking about how the enemy came when we were still innocent. And I know man is of few days and full of trouble, right? But think about when a lot of your deepest wounds had come. You were still innocent. What happened with Adam and Eve? They had the heart of a child. It was just them and God. They were totally innocent. And what did the enemy do? Satan came and he produced a lie. And the intention of the enemy in putting a lie out there is always to try to make you believe that you can find everything outside of God, that you should rely on everything that the world offers for trust. You should rely on everything that the world offers for provision. You should rely on everything except for God. And you know, when they took that lie, just like us, took that lie and realized how untrue it was, a wound was created. And a lot of the continuing sin issues and trust issues, because sin issues are really just trust issues, a lot of that came from the wound. And I'll tell you that a lie broken is a wound healed. Amen. A lie broken is a wound healed. Okay? The depravity of the enemy is that he goes to people in their innocence to turn it, along with their guilt. But it's like, can you think about it? Like if someone came to your child and did that, I mean, does that not just make you angry? So what happened to you and I? Total depravity of the enemy. And the thing about the Holy Spirit and why the Lord gives anointing is because when someone anointed who carries the Holy Spirit, who is led by the Holy Spirit, who listens to the voice of God as if it's the only thing they ever heard, can bring the love and presence of God and the touch of God. Remember, it's all about the touch of God to the people he wants to connect with. Break their chains. Restore that innocence. Take back what has happened. Jesus talked about the roles of the Holy Spirit in John 16, 8 through 11. He says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin in that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. And judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged." So the purpose of the Holy Spirit in there and what we carry as anointed ones is to pronounce the judgment on the one who stole the innocence from the people and reinstate, restore them to God. That's what he wants to do through us. It's his work. For the people that are like setting themselves aside, setting themselves apart, could reach a whole nation through one man who's totally available. And through Jesus, a whole race of people. A whole race of people. Jesus, he knew what anointing meant. He said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim the captives be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." I have come to bring the touch of God to the people because it's a living God. He's the living God, and he's still doing the same things yesterday, today, and forever. It's not something you read in a book. It's something that lives now. For those who would make themselves available to watch that unfold, the favor goes before. It also works within. It may even like tear your heart up to get there. And question your commitment and make you ask all those deep questions of where are you really at? And what is the point of where you're going to have a hard time moving forward in your faith if this doesn't get settled? Remember, you have an anointing through the Holy Spirit because he wants to pronounce judgment on the one who steals innocence. And he'll do it through you if you're willing and able. Why? Because he wants them. And believe me, there's some good stuff for you in that too. This never looks perfect. What looks perfect these days? You know, I had this, I'll share a story from my own life. So we had, I remember coming out of a hard season years ago. And my commitment even to this family was questioned, and I was debating, and I was coming here, and I was like, the Lord had put on my heart for like 6 months to just go up before service and, you know, join the people who were praying before service for the service that day. And I'm like, you know, I put it off for 6 months because I didn't want to. So finally, I'm like, you know what? I think I'll go up this one particular Sunday. I think I'll just go up and I'll finally do it. I've been wanting to do it for a long time. I felt conviction. So I go up to that room. Well, it just so happens that the only other person in that room got a word from the Lord that morning to bring oil because there was going to be one person there that he needed to anoint and give this certain word, and he already had it ready. I think that's like, I don't even have to ask if you think that's any accident, right? So I go up there, and we don't even like start, you know, there's no like, maybe 5 minutes or less, And he's just like, hey, man, I'm just going to stop you from praying because I have a word for you. And the Lord told me to bring oil, and I know you're the one I'm supposed to talk to, so just sit down. So I did. And he probably said it a little different, but not that different if you know who it is. And so I sat down, and he spoke a number of things over me, but one of the things that he said is that he's like, the Lord wants to increase the flow of words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and prophetic vision for you. And so I was like, oh, okay, that's a cool word. That's nice to hear and all that stuff. But man, it was like a light switch flip, because going from that, I watched as not only did the favor that was set on me go before me, it worked within me. In fact, I started like, in that season, I remember going, I was speaking to people at construction sites, the grocery store, my haircuts, like everything, right? Because it doesn't just go before you, it works within you. And why? Because he wants them. He wants you. He wants us. And he'll use one that's available to do it. And it was funny because like, there were a lot of really great stories that go with that, where I got to see that favor go through. But I'm going to tell you one of the stories that wasn't so great that I had forgotten about until this last Wednesday when we were talking at midweek. And worship team, you guys could come up as fit. I got my hair cut, and the woman who was cutting my hair, I felt this real heaviness. And the Lord showed me just how she had a really extreme amount of rejection and just hurt in her life. And it wasn't like, it was continual. He showed me there was like a continual thing, like something she encountered again and again and again. And you know how sometimes like the Lord will share with you something really beautiful. It's like I saw this picture of her in the prime of how wonderful she really is. And I just wanted to tell her so bad, you know? And I knew that it was, I knew that the Lord wanted me to say something. Like, I just felt very solid about that. And so I had this idea that, like, the Lord will always just take my words every time and make them all perfect. Well, you know, I get done with the haircut, and I pay for my haircut, and then I go to deliver the word. And the words that come out of my mouth are, "You are so overrated." They just like fumbled off of my tongue. Looking back, I'm like, how did that even happen? And I tried to fix it, and I don't know if I did all right or not, to be honest. Like, I hope that I haven't seen her since then, so I might have run her off. There's going to be things that happen. And to be honest, like, I actually learned a lot from that, like, grace, okay? Grace, like, you know what? You are not the only Savior, whatever word you think you might have for somebody, you are not the only one that's going to be able to do that in their life necessarily. The Lord is the one that has set that in motion. He gave you the anointing to speak to them. He gave you the anointing to do something, because why? He wants them. And if you're not faithful with it, he'll give it to somebody who is. Parable of the talents. Be faithful with it. Question is, do you want to be faithful with it? Will you give your loyalty to the one who loves you deeply? I mean, the big thing that God said that was so special about David is that he was a man after his heart. It wasn't about what he could or could not do. A man after God's heart, not his power, not his treasure. He'll get all those things too, clearly, but after his heart. And the question is, if you're on the fence with this, I'm going to share an analogy that a friend of mine said. The thing about being on the fence is that you don't get the benefits of either side. The thing about being on the fence is you don't get the benefits of either side. And I can say this with authority because I haven't been a Christian my whole life, that you don't want to be on without God. You don't just need to be with God, you want to be with God. Trust me. And if you hang out on the fence, you're not going to get either even. Just make a choice. Decide where you're at with it. And no, he's not leaving you hanging and even making this choice and helping you through it and helping you to walk it out and live it. The anointing that the fruit of the tree is not for the tree itself. The same is true of anointing. The fruit of anointing is to bring the hearts of the people back to their God. And he'll use one person set totally aside for him to reach a whole nation of people. Father, thank you that you care so much, and you give us awesome examples of faith like Prayer and Crystal to keep believing and trusting and walking in their anointing. And you give people in our lives to speak that life into us. And you care about everybody. That's why you won't just leave it with one person. You'll spread the wealth. You'll lather it on like oil on a cracker. You're generous with your Spirit. Not just for what goes before us, but is within us. And I want to say, if any of you guys in here have, if any of you are like thinking about what the enemy has stolen from you, and innocence that it's stolen from you, and you're like, I don't know what a relationship with God is like. I know I don't have what I thought. I don't have that innocence anymore. And you want to be restored before God? Raise your hand. Be bold. Say something. And I want to say, there's going to be people praying over here. Go get it. It's there for you. Thank you, Lord, and bless you. Thanks for not leaving us hanging, and thank you for doing what you do in power as a living God, that we're never needing proof if we just open our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.